Today's Casual Sports Talk episode is brought to you in part by Potatoes, Tomato's cousin.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the inaugural podcast of some casual sports talk. We are here live from icy Montreal, Quebec, Canada, from my dad's office in the boardroom, bringing you guys the latest, the greatest sports talk, sports discussions, sports knowledge, fantasy advice, anything you can ask us, as long as it's not school related. We are here with Brady G, with Daniel Rapp, with our not officially a lawyer, Lawyer Lloyd, and I am Ethan. We are your casual sports talk crew, and we are excited. We have a great show for you guys today. Let's get into some topics.
All right, let's jump right into it. Here we go, boys.
We're going to talk about some trending topics, and the other day, LeBron James hit 30,000 points. I got a question for you guys. He's the eighth player and the youngest, but he's the eighth player to hit the 30K club. Who is the only player in the 30K club to not have a ring?
Did Hakeem have a ring?
Charles Barkley.
Karl Malone.
Ding, 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 hey, ding, ding, yeah. Ding, ding. Karl Malone was the only player in the NBA 30K club without a ring. Now, what do you guys think 30K does to LeBron's career?
I think like it kind of pushes him like closer to that GOAT, like the talk. Like
I definitely think it rises him up in that kind of GOAT.
Is he not the youngest player to hit the 30K mark?
He is. He's the youngest player to hit 30K. I think Michael Jordan's actually one of the oldest players to hit 30K. But regardless, he hit 30K.
He beat Kobe by like about a year, which is pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Like Kobe's illustrious career is
painted. Kobe's known as a scorer. Yeah. LeBron isn't necessarily known as a scorer either. That also says a lot.
No, I definitely think that it brings him closer in that GOAT discussion, and that's not a discussion we're going to have now because we can literally stand up, throw chairs, and yell for hours on that.
We can have an entire podcast.
We can literally have an hour podcast dedicated to that. So we're going to take off LeBron. First of all, congratulations to LeBron. You're never going to hear us, but congratulations.
Yeah.
This is from old Ethan to young LeBron and to regular LeBron. I don't know which LeBron I'm addressing right now, but congratulations on 30K.
I have a quick question on LeBron before we move on. Do you guys think that there are any other players currently playing that have a realistic shot at meeting or even surpassing LeBron's 30K, whether it be at a different age or maybe even younger? Some of these youngsters are looking pretty promising, if you ask me.
I think Giannis. Maybe the closest. I think no closest. KD. Maybe KD.
KD
may be the closest. I like James Harden as well, but I don't think he had too many years on the bench.
KD started very strong and he's kind of tapered off.
Well, Kevin Durant right now, he's 42nd all-time with 20,000 points. How many years does he have left in him? He has
another least.
He's only 29 years old.
Yeah,
I think
he can get to 30K. I think he can probably get to 30K. I don't think he'll surpass LeBron. LeBron and Dirk are there, and they're both the currently active players in that. So, I mean, I'm going to have to say probably Durant. Yes. Melo has a shot. He just hit 25K, which is very underrated, right? It's very low-key because LeBron hit 30K.
He shadowed.
Speaking of shadows, let's talk about someone who's trying to get out of a shadow. Let's talk about Nick Foles, who's trying to get out of Carson Wentz's shadow to make his own man once again. Apparently he's throwing it back to 2013 now, where he's somewhat good. I don't know.
This is
the last podcast that we're going to send out before the Super Bowl, which is next Sunday. We're not going to have a podcast before then. So let's talk about the Super Bowl real quick.
Before we talk about the Super Bowl, just a nice disclaimer to our fans listening. Brady is, unfortunately, a Patriots fan.
Yeah.
So if there are anything that is said towards the love of the Patriots, just understand that it does not illustrate what our views towards the Patriots.
It's just Brady's views. That's actually a good thing to warn our future fans and anyone who's listening that Brady is the most corrupt Patriots fan of all time. And
he's a bandwagon.
Let's relax on that one. Let's not go there, please.
The Super Bowl is coming up. The Super Bowl line actually opened at New England -5.5, which is the highest since 2009. And I just think this entire offseason, ever since Carson Wentz went down, basically, Philly has been the underdog. And I think they're riding that high of being the underdog. They're taking that
and they're winning with it.
Well, look at they killed, unfortunately, my Vikings. But I mean, like, that was completely surprising.
That was a lot of their defense and a lot of the Vikings just giving up.
We're gonna get into real quick our not much explanation, just our predictions. You know, what's the score going to be? And then I'm going to talk about some prop bets, which is my favorite time of year, Super Bowl prop bets. So Brady, what do you think? What do you think is going to be the score of the game?
All right. So if I'm going to go, I'll be honest, I think it's going to be 27-20 Patriots. I also think Tom gets another MVP under his belt.
Well, you can't really give the ref the MVP, right?
you could have said Malcolm Butler, James White. Maybe they deserve the past two. But okay, you want to go there.
You give it to Tom. What do you think?
I think that what's going to happen is the Eagles are going to have the lead, and then fourth quarter they're going to somehow choke. As per usual,
I think
there's going to be a terrible call that's going to happen on the field. Like looking back to the Steelers call, the Jesse James call there, triggered.
That was a catch, and it wasn't a fumble.
Agree on something, right?
And also the fumble.
Yeah.
Anyways, I think that it's going to be a comeback, and the Patriots are going to come back and win it on a field goal.
I'm going to give you a couple reasons why the Patriots won't win. First things first, I don't know if you guys saw this, but Patriots fans put a Tom Brady jersey on the Rocky statue in Philly. The last time someone vandalized any Philly property was Vikings fans last week. That did not work out well. So,
disclaimer again, I am a Vikings fan.
That is reason one why the Patriots won't win. Reason two, my favorite follow on Twitter, Darren Rovell, love following him on Twitter. Saturday night, he tweeted a picture of a guy who already got like a Patriots Super Bowl 52 chance tat on him.
One of those.
So that basically means they're going to lose, and he's just going to drag.
But I mean, Eagles fans are also wild, so I'm positive
about that. Yeah, so we'll talk about some prop bets, just because this is probably one of my favorite parts. So I'm going to Westgate Las Vegas Superbook has 30 pages full of prop bets. 30 pages. I'll read you some of my favorites right now. The total number of different Patriots to score, over under 3.5, over under. Total number of Patriots to score, 3.5.
I think they think over.
Over?
Yeah.
I think over too.
Some guy from the practice squad is going to score.
Yeah.
Classic Patriots style.
This one, I'm like, this is the easiest call in my life. Total penalties by the New England Patriots, over under 5.5.
Under.
It's going to be 1. If it's 1.5, I'm going.
They're a well coached team.
They're friends with the
ref. Let's agree to disagree here.
Okay, this was a really cool one. The jersey number of the player to score the first touchdown, over under 32.5. You guys don't have to give a prediction, but I thought that was super cool.
That's kind of interesting.
And now that it's the Super Bowl, there was a couple of who will have more. So there was a who will have more LeBron points on that day or Nick Foles passing attempts. Nick Foles is favored by 6.5. That's pretty cool, that's right?
Oh,
next one. Seton Hall and Villanova first half points.
Wait, is this your bet or is this
this is your actual bet? Stuff I saw on Westgate.
He's probably put money down. Let's be real though.
I might. Seton Hall and Villanova first half points favored by 34.5 versus Nelson Agholor receiving yards.
100%.
Like, I don't get
this. Agholor's not going to be.
Here's one where it was actually a pick'em. It's Newcastle and Crystal Palace total goals versus Eagles touchdowns. Total touchdowns.
That's fair. Brady has no idea what we're talking about.
That's a pick'em. And then the last one that I saw was Leo Messi goals versus Tom Brady rushing attempts. So if Tom Brady has 2 rushing attempts and Messi scores a goal, like, it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. There were a couple, though, out of 30 pages that I found were absent. So total number of refs celebrate a Patriots touchdown?
0.
I saw nothing. I saw no bets on that. The amount of times that the commentators will reference any Patriots scandal? Saw none of that.
I think we should do like a drinking game or something. I take a shot every time there's a blown penalty, every time that like Tom Brady is referenced.
Like 9 minutes left in the second quarter. Like, yeah. We're all plastic.
Leave me alone.
There was missing how many 20-3 references the commentators will make? There was missing, will JT have a wardrobe malfunction, which I'm sure all the ladies would love to see. There was missing how many commercials are going to take a shot at Donald Trump. And the last one I thought I was missing.
How many players are going to kneel at that?
No. The last one I thought was missing was, what's the biggest lead Philly's going to blow? Because realistically, fair.
That's
going
to happen. It's inevitable.
I think they're going to blow 17.
So talking about football, we're finishing the season. Let's talk about the offseason a bit. And some major coaching changes have already happened, and some are to happen. So I want all of us to kind of discuss what our favorite one is, what the impact could be.
Talk about winners and losers.
Talk about winners and losers. Yeah, let's go. Let's start with you, Rapplo.
I think a big winner was Arizona. They made massive changes. Picked up Mike McCoy as the offensive coordinator. Steve Wilkes, even though he's never been a head coach, they picked him up as head coach. He used to be the Panthers' defensive coordinator. And they also picked up Al Holcomb, who used to be the D-line coach for the Panthers, as a defensive coach. So that's I like that kind of tandem right there. But, I mean, they're picking up. They're showing that, like, last season they had, let's say, like, an abysmal, like, a less-than-par, less-than-favorable season, mostly because of their QB situation. But, I mean, they changed their front their coaching staff really well, I think. I think they did well.
Yeah, and I think I had an Arizona coach in here that was very low-key. I wanted to give an honorable mention to Byron Leftwich.
Oh my God.
Absolute legend. Yeah. He is returning as the Cardinals quarterback coach. Yeah. He's an absolute legend. Whoever they pick up, you know, as quarterback, whether it's free agency or the draft, Leftwich there is going to be great for them just because he's gone through, and it's been very recent, and Bruce Arians actually praised him. He said he has a big future as a coach. So the Cardinals have been doing some good moves. They've been gearing more defensively. I agree with that completely.
Yeah, they are a defensive team.
They are a defensive team, but you're going to have to capitalize eventually on the offensive success, firepower that you have.
They have so much potential there, and they also have great veterans to pave the way for the youngsters. They have Larry Fitz, who's literally father time here, beating father time itself. Yeah, Hall of Fame. You can definitely talk about that later, but I mean,
I agree completely.
Speaking about quarterbacks, Chicago picking up Nagy.
Yeah, so my coaching change that I was kind of most impressed with or very happy with was Matt Nagy, I don't know how it's pronounced, becoming the head coach of the Chicago Bears. I think hiring an offensive mind in Chicago is key. It's great for Trubisky's development. You spent a second overall pick on Trubisky, and you traded
trade.
Up.
Yeah, that was a bad trade.
I mean, we're not talking about that right now. We're talking about head coaches, Brady.
Yeah.
But yeah, so if you're spending a second overall pick, especially trading up to second, you want that development to happen. Last season, Trubisky wasn't terrible. He was a bit of a game manager, though, and Matt Nagy has proven to turn game managers into great quarterbacks. Alex Smith. Even if for a season.
He also developed Patty Mahomes.
Like, I'm excited to see Patty Mahomes develop next year.
Yeah, next year.
One year with Nagy. Someone please tell me how it's pronounced.
Let's just say Nagy for...
Let's go with Nagy for now. I'm probably going to say Nagy, if I'm being honest.
I have an interesting stat on that, actually. Under Nagy, the Chiefs finished 13th in points scored in 2016, but then they leapt to 6th in the category in 2017.
I literally have that.
Really?
Right. I have that down here. Yeah.
And then you could also see in yards gained.
Yards gained, they went from 27th to 2015 to 5th in 2017. Yeah. So Matt Nagy's a great offensive mind. He worked well under Andy Reid. I think it's time for him to take reign of the Bears. And just as important as Nagy was the Bears retaining Vic Fangio as their defensive coordinator. He was touted by a lot of teams with head coaching vacancies, and they have a very young defense, not full of stars, not supposed to do well, but he turned them actually into a very
respectable team.
Respectable. That's a good word.
They have some young studs,
They have respectable defense. And the development there is key, right? So you want to stick with the same guy who's already meshed with the player. So, I mean, I'll talk about a couple young players. Eddie Jackson, standout rookie at Alabama.
Yeah.
He was a surprise for me. I really didn't have much going for him. Very surprised. He played well for them. You think he's going to have a bright career. Kyle Fuller, last year he had a career-high 22 pass deflections.
Impressive.
It's very impressive. Eddie Goldman, 8.5 sacks in 3 years. He's great on the inside. Speaking of guys on the D-line, Leonard Floyd, very high ceiling.
I love him.
I think the third year, especially under Fangio, is going to be fantastic.
Yeah,
let's
see how he recovers off his ACL.
Yeah, but he's already proven to be a good draft pick. And he has a high ceiling, right? He has a lot of potential. He has high upside.
But you can compare him to
I don't want to compare him to anything, but Alden Smith's been in trouble. let's not compare him there.
A couple other players,
Akeem Hicks, he's a little older, but you have a built relationship there. He had a team high 8.5 sacks last year. And then Christian Jones really came out of nowhere leading the team with 90 tackles. By the way, all those players that I listed were under 28. So I think just as important as having that offensive mind, having that defensive mind, just like I said, Fangio's been great so far. Keeping him, cultivating your youth, developing what you already have, plus, you already have the defense covered, plus having Matt Nagy there to help Trubisky draft the wide receiver, maybe. Calvin Ridley at 8, maybe. That's what we said in our mock draft, at least. I think they have a lot of potential to do well next year, and that's probably going to be one of my surprise teams as long as the draft goes well and everything. Brady, I know you wanted to talk about two of your boys the Patriots, so I'll give it to you now to talk about two coaching moves that you love.
Well, it's not official yet, but all signs are pointing that Josh McDaniels is going to the Colts. I like him there. They have a decent offense. They need to fix their O-line, but you got some decent offense with Andrew Luck. If he can stay healthy, if not, I like Jacoby as a respectable backup.
Also, he kind of has a past, Jacoby, with McDaniels.
Yeah, well, Jacoby was a former Patriot. He was spent a year and a bit there before he got traded for Philip Dorsett. So I like him to build to make the Colts and Andrew Luck a very high-powered offense. He's going to fix Luck's sack problem, maybe help him get the ball off a little quicker because he's very good with that with Brady. And then we got Matt Patricia going to Detroit, which, again, is also not official yet until the Patriots Super Bowl is done. Win or lose, we don't know. But so that's done. None of them are going to be officially hired yet. But Matt Patricia is going to a nice – I like Detroit a lot with Matt Patricia because they have a nice defense there. They have Darius Slay. They have Ziggy Ansah. If he returns, we don't know that. That's a free agent, pending free agent as well. But they have a decent defense around there. And their offense, they have a good offense. All they need is a running back, and you're golden, really. They keep Jim Bob Cooter there as the offense coordinator. I like that.
Boy, I love me some Jim Bob
Cooter. I like that. I think they have two good receivers there. All they need is a running back. They have a nice young offense, and we're good.
Kenny Galladay is a third receiver there. I love Kenny Galladay. I'm so high on him still.
He's still high on him. He's 6'4". I like him,
too. He's got some high upside.
Look, upside. Detroit can win the division, honestly, in my opinion. If Patricia does what everybody thinks he's going to do and make that defense stout, and then you keep Jim Bob Cooter and Stafford doesn't throw those costly picks, then we got a good team on our hands.
You know what? I have to give it to Matt Patricia. Beardless or beardful, although they are two different people, right? So if Detroit hires Matt Patricia with the beard, and then day one Matt Patricia no beard shows up, they're firing him.
Good luck.
Please hire someone else because I want Matt Patricia with the beard there. I think if you draft one or two key guys on defense, right, you address a couple needs,
maybe some O-line help.
Some O-line, it's not that bad. It's
not bad, but
a couple of good signings and. They still need a running back, in my opinion. I mean, Amir
Abdullah. That's their first.
I think they're not free agency. I don't know if there's much available.
LeGarrette Blount.
Oh my God, listen, I hate LeGarrette.
Anyways, moving on. What do you guys think about John Gruden?
Oh God,
quarterback whisperer. I think $100 million is incredible.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
Was he really a quarterback whisperer? What quarterbacks? Rich Gannon. That's like a veteran. Chris Sims wasn't very good in Tampa Bay.
I think he's gonna do great for Derek Carr. I think Derek Carr's gonna have a bounce back season, fantasy wise and regular football wise.
Yeah, his receivers to throw to.
Yeah, I mean, well, Michael Crabtree might go
elsewhere.
Amari Cooper. Yeah. All you have to do is make sure he's more consistent, and then he's fine.
He just needs to fix those hands, not too many drops.
Yeah. He's very good. He's like a star.
Athletically.
But I think John Gruden is not the worst hire for Oakland. I think more or less it's more of a marketing move, a business decision that was fantastic. Right, I think it's going to sell more seats, especially with them going to Vegas.
Yeah.
I think that's
going to help
keep the fans there. Like, oh, our coach is still there.
It's an attraction.
I think that's why you're spending. I think that's why it's worth $100 million. Otherwise, John Gruden is not worth $100 million.
Yeah,
but I think marketing wise and business wise, it's a fantastic decision.
Yeah,
and good for Oakland.
We want to take a minute before our next segment to thank a very underappreciated sponsor, The Fridge. Colder than an unreceptive DM slide, the fridge does its job day in and day out to keep our food and beverages at the right temperature. Thank you, fridge.
You want to talk about business? Let's talk about NFL as a business compared to what else is going to be happening in 2 years. Mm-hmm. That's right. Vince McMahon announced XFL is coming back in 2020.
I'm kind of excited.
After one failed year in 2001 when I was five, so I can watch
it.
There were a lot of problems. It was very rushed. Vince is apparently taking a new approach. So let's talk about what we want for the XFL. Personally, I want Vince McMahon to show up all hopped up on steroids circa 1990 and be a player coach for a team. I want him to insert himself and just like knock guys out. Also,
I want in 2 years, once Tom Brady and Bill Belichick are forced out of New England, I want them to both sign for the XFL, but on different teams, right? That would be super cool, right? After Kraft forces Brady and Belichick out of New England. I got a couple of kooky rules here that I think could totally not work.
Wait, on that note with the players that are coming in, I think that a great coach that should join LeVar Ball. Imagine LeVar Ball in the XFL. Take a second and let that sink in. LeVar Ball in the XFL.
I think LeVar Ball anywhere is hilarious.
Yeah, you're right. That's very true.
Brady, how about some players you think can make the XFL great again?
Well, we got reportedly Johnny Manziel is the number one guy.
He's not allowed. He's a criminal.
Why?
He's a convicted criminal.
He's not allowed
is
to he? Be in the XFL.
He said no criminals. After the funniest thing is that he was advertising. Vince McMahon was like hinting at Johnny Manziel coming, like big names like Johnny Manziel, like Kaepernick, all this stuff. He was saying this stuff.
But then he said
no criminals, and he also said like stuff about like you can't disrespect, like no politics on the field, so no kneeling.
So no Colin Kaepernick.
So it was like Colin Kaepernick and Manziel out, like.
Yeah, no, I think Manziel's like not allowed to be in the league. But let's go to your other players.
We got Tim Tebow, maybe.
He's gonna win the NL MVP this year. When he makes the New York Mets roster, he's gonna slug 38 home runs and hit for 212.
Okay, well. We also got Chad Johnson. I don't know. I think Chad wants to play football again. He wants to play football.
That'd be cool.
And he'd be very entertaining. Vince can market him and Terrell Owens.
On that note of Ocho Cinco, Terrell Owens.
Bringing Chad Johnson and Terrell Owens back is a great idea.
I think they're both athletic. I think they wouldn't be the worst receivers in the NFL. So I think they'd be probably one of the best in the XFL if you're gonna.
Depends on the quality, but as of right now. You're on the recruiting trail. I think those two would be great.
There's also, I got a nice little linebacker, hard hitting guy. He used to be on the Patriots. And Buffalo Bills, Brandon Spikes. He's not in the NFL anymore. He's a rough, tough hitting guy, and that's what Vince wants. He wants hard hitting NFL football.
But if Brandon Spikes goes to the XFL, I want Spikes on his shoulder pads. That's all I'm saying.
Speaking of that, Vontae is perfect. Can he make the XFL?
I don't think he's gonna leave the NFL. But
I don't think he'll leave the NFL. But if he does,
there's lots of fights.
Let's talk about some rules.
I have a few more players as well. Not really busts, but yeah, I guess some of them are busts. For one, RG3, career cut short.
Okay, all right.
Trent Richardson.
Oh, but he's killing it here in Canada. He's playing killing for Saskatchewan, man.
But I mean, he's also earning like $45,000 a year or something ridiculous like that, like $40,000 a year.
CFL plays, yeah, CFL plays absolutely nothing.
Garbage. I would like to see Tony Romo, low key.
Well, you want to see Tony Romo leave the booth?
Tony Romo loves the booth. He's doing well up there also.
Jake Delhomme, Kurt Warner.
Jake Delhomme?
Oh, Jake Delhomme?
Wow, that's a throwback.
He's a little old there.
Yeah. Kurt Warner's retired.
Kurt Warner's reported to go to
Brett Favre back
football.
In there, huh?
Imagine.
I think Brett Favre would not move.
Brett Favre would not move. He would take that snap and he just throw the ball. He wouldn't move.
Isn't he 50 now?
Well, he's
probably.
I'm sorry. If Brett Favre is playing in the league, he has to wear jeans. Like, no uniform. No, he's playing in jeans and a shirt. Everyone else wears a uniform. He's playing in jeans and a t-shirt. That's the Brett Favre rule.
We got Reggie Bush in there. Okay. Reggie Bush is still,
but I think
he's still athletic.
Yeah,
he just retired from the NFL, but obviously he still can probably play.
On that note, what about Megatron?
You're talking a lot about retired players, you know?
But also careers cut short.
Exactly, but this is also an opportunity, right? If the XFL comes back for people who don't make the NFL coming out of college, they could apply their trade there for a couple years.
I have a guy like Tim Wright. He used to play for Detroit, for the Patriots, and a few other teams. He's a decent tight end. I like him. I think he's personally a good deep threat.
But I'm talking more about young players.
But when you said Vince McMahon made it clear, he said he doesn't want it to be a development league for the NFL. He doesn't want it to be like a D league.
But at the same time, if some of these kids want to continue playing football, this is the opportunity, right? Fair. Regardless, it won't be a development league for the NFL. But at the same time, you will have people going to the XFL hoping to one day make the NFL.
That's fair.
And let's talk about some rules for the XFL. So I came up with a couple rules that I thought would totally work out for the XFL. So, after being forced to stand for the national anthem, players will continue to be forced to stand for the Vince McMahon national anthem, which is basically God Bless America, but America replaced with Vince McMahon.
That's fair.
That's fair, right? That's rule fair. One. Yeah, rule two, if you sack the quarterback using a Stone Cold Stunner, it counts as double the yard loss. So if you're able to stunner the QB, it should count as double.
You also have to crack back two
beers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Someone on the sidelines throw it over.
Exactly, yeah. Instead of Gatorade, you have beer there. That's fine. No punts. unless the coach walks to the other bench and lets the opposing coach slap him. Okay. And this would be a super cool one. You have a special guest referee, which is a WWE superstar. You have a special guest referee in every match that is allowed to hit any player with his finisher at any times.
I really want to see Dwayne The Rock Johnson come back.
Right? Like, do you
want to see him come back?
Would you not love to see, like, Randy Orton's music playing and he just walks into the field and someone's, like, diving for a catch? RKO out of nowhere.
Better yet, Undertaker, all the lights shut off. And
oh, my God.
Wait,
that's hilarious.
They turn back on and Undertaker's in the middle of the field.
That's hilarious. And the championship game has to be played in extreme rules conditions.
Table ladder.
Table ladder chairs. Yeah, yeah, I'm sorry.
In a cage also.
Look, the trophies.
We like joking around. Let's talk about some ways that it actually can be successful, right?
Can I say something that was really successful the first time with XFL on that note? The huddle cam. That was really interesting. It's giving the huddle cam inside the huddle. They had a cameraman that literally went to the huddle. The guy was like decked out in armor, like literally like he was wearing a hockey helmet, everything, because he was getting hit. But he brought the camera into the huddle. You would hear them talk. It made the players change the way they spoke in the huddle, obviously, which was pretty shitty towards the players. The players didn't like that. But it made the fans, like, it's something that Vince McMahon vows that this will make more fan-centric. This gives the fans a different view of sports. You're literally inside the huddle. You're listening. Like, it's such a different thing. I think that would be really cool if they bring back. It was called the bubble cam.
Yeah.
I think it would be really cool if they brought that back.
The only thing that, like, lasted from the 2001 XFL was the sky cam or the...
Yeah.
Right? That's used in the NFL today. I want to talk about four ways that, in all honesty, as a business, that Vince McMahon and the XFL can be successful. First off, you have to determine what the F a catch is. like they're going to have to be able to determine what a catch is, because if I'm watching the NFL and I'm like, that's a catch, and they're saying it's not a catch, I'm like, screw this. I'm going to watch the XFL. They know what a goddamn catch is. Thank God. Number two, make sure people know that they're not the NFL. You know, in any business, you have to show why your product is different or better than the NFL's product.
Yeah, they have to make that divide between them and the NFL.
Yeah, and you have to constantly remind people you're not the NFL, right? You're better than the NFL. You have to capture the market that doesn't watch the NFL, which is, in recent years, it's been getting bigger and bigger, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of people are boycotting the NFL for getting involved in political things. And
Colin
you're going to have to capture that market that doesn't watch the NFL.
And also, they have to, because the thing is, the NFL right now, like, it looks like they basically have a monopoly over that whole sphere of football in America, which they pretty much do. Like, all these small indoor football leagues, like the lingerie football league, even
arena,
like,
football,
it's tiny. It's
even
tiny.
Even the CFL, yeah.
The CFL, even, like, they're overshadowed by this. Like, the XFL really have to make that clean divide between them and the NFL if they want to continue to be better than a single season.
My third way that they can be successful, no dynasties. You gotta keep it competitive, build fan hype, keep people wanting to come back. I think a lot of people are rooting against the Patriots because they're tired of the Patriots winning so much, right? Like,
yeah, that's fair.
I think they want to see a lot more competition
people
in the league. So
that's why.
People get bored and annoyed. So if you want people coming back, you're going to have to deliver new, exciting, like, you're going to have
underdogs.
Underdogs that are winning. Yeah, like, in the MLB, how often does the same teams make the playoffs each year? Because there's only six teams in the playoffs. You rarely have any repeats of teams going that far. You don't have many dynasties in the MLB. And that keeps fans watching the postseason. I just think if the XFL has a lot more competition there, then 100% you can get some fans from the NFL.
Let's also be real here. Vince is – what he does best is tell stories, right? That's what he's going to get – that's what he's going to bring to XFL. He's going to bring – a job of building teams, and he's gonna build like he builds wrestlers or superstars with WWE. He builds them up and he makes them into attractions. He makes them into attractions. That's what he's gonna try to do with the XFL.
Vince McMahon is great at business, and that kind of brings me to my fourth point, my last way that they could be successful. You gotta make it more affordable. He said in the press conference he wants to make it more family friendly. You could make it more family friendly by making it more affordable. Take the Atlanta Falcons for an example. This year, they just opened Mercedes-Benz Stadium. They were very successful. And my favorite follow on Twitter, Darren Ravel, they dropped the cost of food by 50% in Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And in both the Atlanta Falcons and the Atlanta United games, which both played there, fans spent 16% more per game, right?
So
you drop the price, people are going to be affording more, they're going to spend more.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
makes sense.
I don't want to spend. Listen, we're in Montreal. We go to the Bell Center. It's $12 for a
pizza. Go to the Air Canada Center in Toronto, man.
Yeah.
You'll pay $20 for a slice of pizza.
For $12 at Atlanta game, you can get two slices of pizza, two beers, and like a hot dog. Like, I would totally want to spend the $12 on that than just one beer. So I would be willing to spend more.
of course your goal is to make money, but there has to be a middle ground somewhere that they can go, right? Like,
yeah.
I just think those are the four ways that the XFL as a business can compete with the NFL.
And Vince McMahon is a smart guy. I think, like, well, what he said, he said that this is smarter also, what he's doing now. So the first time they released the XFL, he kind of, it was very, like, very quick, and it was very rushed, and you were able to tell if you rewatch the games and stuff, like, there was fireworks going on during the game, like, it was stuff that was ridiculous, like, it wasn't planned to be like that, but it was just that everything was kind of rushed. You were able to tell by the actual games. And I think now that he's taking, they have 2 years until the league is actually made a thing, I think that it's actually, I think that's smart, because he also said in his last press conference that he wants to take questions and answers from the fans, what they want to hear, what they want to see, to attract more people and a broader demographic than just the NFL is doing today.
So first, I want to make a comment to your press conference. I like that Vince addressed the people's names. That he was like, oh, hi, Dan, or hi, whoever was asking questions. I felt it made it very personal, but that's just the point I thought was really nice about the press conference. But one thing about 2001 to what happened in 2020, Vince made it very WWE-like. He took a lot of his workers from WWE and brought them over to XFL, which he said he's not going to do. He's going to make it very separate. It's why he's also sold some stocks to fund this himself. This is all his own money. And when we get to the XFL...
But honestly, I think they should bring Jim Ross back for the XFL.
Yes, Jim Ross.
Well, I'm almost positive he was in the XFL originally, and you were saying that now on the WWE they want to make a divide between, like,
well,
between
Vince the old one.
Yeah, it was smart, but I really want him to bring back.
I would love to have Jim Ross come to the XFL games. Or Tony Romo.
Have them both.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to our last point. We're going to our last point right now, and we're switching topics a bit just because there's a lot going on in the sports world, and one of them that's happening next week is the NBA All-Star Game.
2 weeks.
2 weeks, sorry. Yeah, 2 weeks away is the NBA All-Star Game. There's a lot of actually hype around it right now, but personally, I hate all All-Star Games. I can go on a half an hour rant of how much I hate all of the All-Star Games from every single sport and how useless they are.
I'm literally looking at Ethan. He has about a stack of maybe a ream of paper, just notes on
All-Star Games and how much I hate them. The only appealing All-Star event ever, and I will admit this, the only appealing All-Star event is the Home Run Derby in baseball. That's the best one.
I think, okay, it's declined a lot, but I think the dunk competition used to have a lot of appeal.
Used to, before like 2000.
But we're talking about right before now. I still think the Home Run Derby still has its appeal.
Yeah, definitely.
The only one that I'm... Even if you hate baseball, I could still see people who don't like baseball watching the All-Star.
Yeah, that's fair.
It's
NHL
just so...
All-Stars, anyone? NHL All-Stars?
I think maybe the worst out of them all. All four major sports.
I mean, the Pro Bowl used to be something. Now it's nothing. Now it's happening as we record this, and we don't want to watch this. And we're big football fans. I don't want to watch Pro Bowl. I don't want to watch the All-Star game. I do watch the Saturday night, but I skip through it sometimes because I just find it so boring. The dunk contest, for example, has gone to complete shit. It always has potential to be great, but it disappoints. I mean, they had this stupid, like, the team format they had in 2014 was absolutely ridiculous. And then you just have, like, some of the competitors that are – I'm going to name some. Last year, Glenn Robinson III was a winner. I don't even think he's on a roster right now. Derrick Jones Jr. was a runner-up. Like, if you want people to tune in, you are not putting Glenn Robinson III and Derrick Jones Jr. On display.
This year you have Dennis Smith Jr.
Smith Jr. is a great dancer. Dennis Smith Jr. is a great dunker. I think he has a lot of...
He's thinking a dancer, what is it?
So you think you can dunk?
Oh, wow.
Great reality show.
Copyright this right now.
Lawyer Lloyd, can you... Please.
I'm already filing for the papers. Don't worry about it.
Guys, it's already been... By the time you're hearing this, it's for sure definitely 100% patented, so please don't take the idea.
But you can. We'll sue you.
ABC, please don't sue us. We're not taking your idea. We're just
NBA
making,
neither.
NBA, don't sue us either.
We're taking your idea and making it great again.
Yeah, we are making ideas great again here. That's what we do here. I want to talk about some other past winners. I mean, 2015, Mason Plumlee was a contestant. Like, Mason Plumlee, come on. 2012, you had Jeremy Evans, the winner. You also featured Chase Buttinger and Derek Williams. Like, the dunk contest is not appealing enough to fans. I think it should be a fan vote as to who goes in there, and then you ask the player, right? So if all the fans want LeBron to participate,
then you ask him. If he says no, then that's okay, right?
But I think, look, if they would have had LeBron in this dunk competition, that would have been huge. I mean,
well, right.
Do you remember LeBron's ever been in a dunk competition? Yeah. Remember in 2009, it was Nate Robinson and Dwight Howard went at it. It was massive.
Was it the Superman year? Was that
LeBron? LeBron actually committed to going in 2010 and then took back his commitment when the All-Star game in 2010 came because, I don't know. I mean, I get players don't want to risk injury and stuff, but the dunk contest, which is supposed to be so big, it always disappoints.
Yeah.
And that's just All-Star games in a general for me. They always disappoint me.
I enjoy, I'll tell you, my favorite part of All-Star weekend is reading all the tweets of players shading other players for snubs and everything. Lou Will, my favorite follow on Twitter, right? Oh, well, second favorite behind Derrick Rovell. Lou Will is shading everyone. I think that's funnier than actually watching the All-Star game.
They should have a tweet-off.
They should just literally sit on the court, looking at their phones and just tweeting, and have fans live checking the tweets.
Or we could have a fight going on. We could have, like, a UFC fight. I would like that. Like, a nice UFC-style fight between the NBA players. Imagine it was Enes Kanter versus
LeBron.
The NBA has turned into UFC already. Yeah. Like.
All these fights.
No, but even last year in the All-Star game, they had a fashion show.
They did.
Or 2 years ago.
They had a fashion show.
We fact checked him.
Yeah, okay.
They had a fashion show. Like, what are you doing?
Don't worry. On our website, we will have a Brady fact check counter.
Updates. Brady was not wrong.
Every time.
In 2015, they did have an NBA All-Star all-style fashion show. He was not wrong. And it was the All-Stars that came down.
Okay, well, Brady's been fact checked once.
And I'm right.
Players like LeBron, Chris Paul, Paul George, all these guys came down in different outfits.
Are we playing basketball or is this New York Fashion Week?
I want to know, do the players even have fun? Like, if I ever interview a basketball player who's made the All-Star game, I want to ask him if he has fun.
I think they used to. I don't think it's not the same as they used to. Not the same as it used to be, honestly. It used to be, like, such an honor to make the All-Star game. Like, you know, this used to be, like, such a big deal.
I think the process has to change. I think you got to give fans what they want.
Trust the process.
Did you know that this year they had something really stupid? For All-Stars, they had like the fan vote and then the coaches vote, and then the player. I don't know what. Something I think stupid. It was fan for sure, but then it was like two out of the three of the following. Like
the starters,
coaches, media, or players.
And then it was like 50% of one.
It was very weird this year. I don't get it. But actually, in the fan vote, the fans voted future Hall of Famer Manu Ginobili into the All-Star game. But he wasn't on the roster because the other two sections of voters didn't vote him. And you want people to watch? If I'm voting for Manu Ginobili, I want to see him there. Yeah. Like, to take an example, what was it last year, the NHL All-Star game with John Scott? That whole thing, do you remember
that? Oh, my God. That was hilarious.
Like, fans wanted to watch John Scott in the All-Star game. I'm sure they got more viewers because of that, but the NHL almost didn't allow it.
Yeah,
like,
but they realize that it's huge. Like the voting for the All Stars in the NHL.
You gotta give fans what they want
to do it.
You gotta give fans what they want.
That's the whole issue with the dunk contest. The players want to see aren't doing it.
So
and also in the NHL, what they do is they have all these big things on Twitter, hashtag it, it counts as a vote. They should do that.
NBA league offices, if you are ever listening to this, please give me a call or shoot us a DM because I have some improvements to make towards our All Star game. Actually,
any league. We can help you out.
You see XFL All Star game?
XFL All Star game. Let's talk about the XFL All Star game.
I have a few questions. What do you guys think about Paul George getting snubbed, but then taking Boogie Cousins?
Very unfortunate to hear about Boogie Cousins.
He was having a great season.
He was having a fantastic season.
Him and Anthony Davis were looking good together for the Pelicans.
I think New Orleans was geared for a playoff run. I think they're in a fallout now, of course. You cannot replace Boogie Cousins whatsoever.
He's a force to be reckoned with.
Yeah. Paul George got snubbed. It's hard because the West is so good. Paul George would have 100% made the East roster. But the West is just loaded with so much talent. Even better teams in the East.
Even look at Lou Will, who got snubbed.
Yeah,
Lou Will's having a great season.
He's bringing the Clippers to like where they're 24 and 24 right now. Sorry, but I mean, Lou Will might be the reason because of that. Like I might say that, but arguably. But the thing is, think about this: Lou Will only started 14 games a season.
He's gonna be six man of the year, probably.
Six man every year.
Lou Will is six man.
Lou Will, six man.
Lou Will.
copyright. Yeah, yeah, Lawyer Lloyd.
Oh yeah,
are we allowed to sing? Are we allowed to sing Drake
lyrics? At Drake, we are sorry. Lawyer Lloyd. Lawyer Lloyd, are we getting sued for this?
Possibly.
Okay, so as Lawyer Lloyd says, we're getting sued. We're probably going to stop talking now. We want to thank you guys so much for joining us on this journey. I think we covered a lot today, and we are excited to bring you guys
big things to come, guys.
Big things to come. We are excited to bring you guys so much content, and we want to thank you guys for listening. Next week, we're going to cover some new topics. We're probably going to have a Super Bowl review, and we're going to talk about a couple other polarizing.
I may or may not be here if the Patriots depend on the Patriots.
Well,
Patriots do lose, Brady may not be here. We're not talking about the podcast. We're talking about in this world.
So can I just say one thing? While we're on air, Brady, can we make a deal? If the Patriots win, you're not allowed to talk for the first 5 minutes of the podcast next week.
Patriots win on air.
No.
If the Patriots win,
I'm going to shut up.
Yeah, the thing is,
if the Patriots win,
we already hear about
Brady.
It all the time.
And the GOATs.
Yeah. So, Brady, if the Patriots win, please, for the first 5 minutes, just don't say a word.
And as long as producer Lloyd counts it down for me, I'm good.
Lloyd, are you okay with that?
I'm a witness. Let's do it.
Do we have a deal?
First 5 minutes,
so
Brady doesn't win.
If the Patriots win, Brady does not talk for the first 5 minutes.
There was an official handshake.
There was a handshake there.
There was an official handshake.
But, yeah.
Make sure to give us a follow on all of our social media accounts. Twitter, @ Casual Sports Pod. And Snapchat, @ us, Casual Sports Pod. On Instagram and Facebook, it's Casual Sports Talk, just because Twitter and Snapchat let us have, like, one character too little.
Also, look forward to the opening of our website shortly.
Yeah, now we're still running off the blog, but make sure to go check out casualsportstalk.com. We already have some content up for there, and sooner or later, hopefully sooner, it's going to be all built up and all ready for you guys. So,
big things.
From the Casual Sports Talk gang, we want to thank you for listening to CST, OPP, you know me, we're out.